When talkback caller Virginia went to the polls on Saturday, she intended on voting for the Liberal Party in the Senate. It was only later that she realised she'd voted for someone else entirely.
I didn't know until I actually got home and my husband said, so you voted, you know, the way we discussed? And I said, yeah. He said, so it was the 17th one across or something like that. And I looked at him and I went, 17th? The one I put the number in was about the second.
In New South Wales, the Liberal Democrats received nearly 9% of the primary vote, partially because the party was first on the ticket, but also because some, like Virginia, mistook it for the Liberal Party. But whether they meant to or not, people did actually vote for the Liberal Democrats in large numbers. The same can't be said for a few of the other possible Senate contenders. Stephen Leslie is the Vice President of Electoral Reform Australia. He has a fairly blunt assessment of the current system.
It's completely out of hand. It was out of hand last time, and this is worse. It's people being elected who have no legitimate claim on representing a significant portion of the population. I'm in favour of proportional representation, but a quota for election for the Senate is 14.3%. People getting elected on minuscule votes or being elected by fooling the people into believing they actually are another party is not a sign of a healthy democracy.
Senate reform has been discussed for decades, but many hope this year's result may finally lead to some real change. Brian Costa is Professor of Politics at Swinburne Institute for Social Research.
I've got three proposed solutions to this problem. One is to address this question of party registration. It's far too easy to register parties. And if you look at it, there are people who register more than one party. I mean, because what do you need? You need a $500 deposit, you need 500 names, and you need a brief constitution. Now, it seems to me that that's inadequate. I think to show that you have a modicum of support, you should have 2,000 names. Remember, that's out of 14 million voters. That's not a lot. And I'd go for a $20,000 nomination fee. And you might say, gee, that's a lot of money, but you know, it's $10 a member.
The next problem is the complex nature of the ballot paper itself. The AEC doesn't have official figures for how many people actually voted below the line on Saturday, but it usually ranges between about 3 and 5%. Above-the-line voting was brought in the 80s to try and simplify the whole process, but really it's just allowed parties to hide their convoluted preference deals. Brian Costa again.
What I would do is a bit more radical. I'd abolish above and below the line, redesign the ballot paper and have an optional preferential. So if last Saturday to cast a valid vote, you'd only have to number six squares. You could go on and number any more as you like. And the third thing I'd do would be I would introduce a threshold so that if the lead candidate in a group of senators or an independent candidate didn't poll 4% of the primary vote, they are instantly eliminated and their preferences distributed.
But isn't 4% a bit high? Surely that would kill off any micro party or any little party starting out. They may go on to become a prominent player, but they might struggle to get 4% in their first attempt.
Well, it depends, doesn't it? I mean, Palmer Party did, One Nation did, the Democrats did, Greens did. I mean, the parties that go on tend to, you know, make a bit of a splash when they first start. And this is not a new suggestion. It was suggested by Liberal Senator Helen Coonan way back in the 1990s. But her problem was she set it too high. She set it at 10%. And it looked to everyone as though this was an attempt to destroy the Greens.
But former Democrat Senator Natasha Stott-Despoja has some reservations about instituting a primary vote threshold.
Well, I can understand why people might proffer the idea of some form of threshold. I think most Australians are shocked at the idea that someone on, you know, 0.02% of the primary vote is a prospective senator. However, every democratic inclination I have suggests that that is an unfair bias. It is a disincentive for people to put their hand up for office, and it also discriminates against smaller parties, be they minor parties or micro parties.
Stephen Leslie from Electoral Reform Australia also isn't convinced by the threshold system. Instead, he's calling for the introduction of something known as the Robson rotation, which is used in upper house elections in Tasmania and the ACT. Essentially, it means that the order in which candidates appear within groups varies from ballot paper to ballot paper, thus randomising the advantage of appearing at the top of a party's list. Stephen Leslie again.
It means that the major parties all have all their candidates stay in the count longer. because at the moment, you say that a party gets 2.25 quotas. The first candidate is elected with a quota, the second candidate is elected with a quota, and the third candidate has a quarter of a quota and is often eliminated early in the count because other parties, especially with the preference harvesting, other parties can build their vote up 0.1% each time and get over the top.
Basically, to continue to use that example, instead of the first two being elected and the third missing out completely, all three candidates would have something like 3/4 of a quota, and theoretically, they'd all be in the race longer. Stephen Leslie also argues that this system would reduce the size of the ballot paper because parties wouldn't want to spread their allocation too thin, and therefore would voluntarily reduce the number of candidates on the ticket. Whatever the reform solution, retiring National Senator Ron Boswell says change is needed and it needs to happen now. With several micro-parties suddenly wielding their power in the Senate, we can no doubt expect a further explosion of small players next time around. Senator Boswell is calling for a parliamentary inquiry to address the issue as soon as possible.
People deserve the right to know where their vote will end. Voting is very precious and their vote should be counted and they should know where it's going to end up. This buying a pig in a poke and sending your vote on a merry-go-round ride where you don't know what's going to happen and you elect someone with 1.5% of the vote or even 0.5% of the vote. That is not democratic, and it's done through backroom deals, not out there selling your ideas to the people and asking for their vote.